There's a passage of scripture that the Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, one of my favorite chapters, because it speaks to what Timothy really meant to Paul, but what testimony Paul really meant to the world. And that in that sixth verse, well, I'm going to back up in the fourth chapter. I'm going to back up to the fifth verse just for that. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not preaching on this. This is free. Okay? All right. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And of course, the hallmark of Paul's message in his ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and my time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I love that passage because it so reminds me of the kind of life that Paul lived and the kind of life that really what God has required of us. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have prepared my entire life for this one time that my departure is at hand, and I know that God's calling me. I know that God is calling me, and he'll come get me when he is ready. Not until then, but when he is ready. Anybody put off like I put off? I mean, kick it back. There's always tomorrow. You know, one of those kind of deals. I should have done it already, but I didn't. You know, one of those kind of things. Leading up to back surgery, I did so many things. It was unbelievable. I got so much work done, you know, all those kind of things. Lift this, push that. And I was told, why are you pushing now? You shouldn't be lifting it. I said, I can't hurt anymore, and I hurt now. Just go do it. Get it done. But procrastination is part of our name. I really think that. I think we, by and large, now some people plan you to death. She's not looking at me right now. Oh, now she's looking at me. What are you going to be doing, Dad, 4 months from now? I hope I'm on this side of the turf. What do you mean? What am I going to do 4 months from now? I don't know what I'm going to do 4 months from now. But I know this. God has called us to prepare our hearts and our lives for that day when he does call us. He said, he made it very clear. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. For what reason? Because he wanted to be the testimony of the righteousness of God and how God had blessed him. Even though he's in prison, even though he's ready to be offered. In other words, he's ready to be killed. And that's what was going to take place. But I want to sit down on two rather verses in that same chapter. On verse number 9, Paul pleads out to Timothy. I don't know how long it took to get the message to Timothy. I don't have any idea how long it took to get it there. But he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul wanted to see his son. He wanted to see the son in the faith. Yes, I know that. He wanted to see him so bad to be encouraged in his spirit. You know, sometimes you get towards Christmas, and sometimes for a lot of people that sounds of great joy and everything, and it should be because our Savior was born. We come into the world. It's a time of celebration. More people come to Christ at that time than just about any other time. But then for some, it's going to be a very difficult time. I lived through that. I can't imagine, but it's been over 50 years, you know, to lose a mom and then as a kid when I needed one the most. Paul made this statement to Timothy, I need you to come. Do everything. Stop what you're doing. Even though I know that this is what I sent you there to do, do your diligence. Come to me. I need to see you shortly. And if you drop down into the 21st verse, do thy diligence to come before winter. Yesterday, I wanted to see my son. Went to Bastrop. For many of you that know my oldest son, Joey's in a federal penitentiary. And haven't had a chance to see him. Couldn't go. They wouldn't let us in. I haven't seen him almost been 2 years. It's an amazing thing. But I recognized something real quick when I got there. There was something different. the time away from family had really eaten on him. The time away had darkened his thoughts. The time away from those of us that love him and our entire family and friend, it had an impact on him. And I didn't realize, because I get to be blessed every day with Margaret and kids around and grandkids and my friends. And so, you know, I didn't see it, but I saw it yesterday. I saw it as we got to visit, couldn't hug. Fortunately, there wasn't any glass. Didn't have to do that. We just had to sit 6 feet away from each other, talk through mask. I can't hear anyway, let alone talk through a mask. But it was just fun to be there. I thought about other prisoners, the one that wrote this book, the one that sent this letter to Timothy, to his son in the faith. But I thought about some of the most renowned that we had ever lived in our world. One happened to be Napoleon Bonaparte. And Apostle Paul. I think those are probably two of the most famous prisoners that ever walked on the face of the earth. One was in prison because the peace of the world needed him to be in prison. I mean, he was one of the greatest disruptors of the entire world. The other one was in prison, even though he brought nothing but peace to the world. He brought peace to a world that could not produce it himself, because they always were looking within, and they never were looking to God. And that's all. He said, the world can't give you peace, echoing what his Savior said. He said, but I came to give you peace. And the peace that I bring, the world cannot take away. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God can do. One came and destroyed, devastated lands, capitals, cities, nations, everywhere that he went. And the other one came and he blessed those places. Every city, every nation, every country that he went into, Paul brought the message of hope and peace. He brought something that Napoleon could never bring, because who was he focusing on? Paul wasn't focusing on himself, as Napoleon definitely was. One would bring bloodshed, and it would be terrible bloodshed. I mean, in fact, rivers would flow with the blood that Napoleon spilled in his armies. And the only blood that came from the other was the blood that he would sacrifice for the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He brought that. One, you could follow his path. And if you ever see the history of the world and you look at the path, they show the path that Napoleon went and how much devastation went along with it. You know, you could always find Paul's path also, because it was a path of glory. It was a trail that was very distinctly marked by the churches that were founded, by the lives that were changed, because this is what he had on his heart. You trace what he would do, and now he's in prison. Death is coming. But he writes this one more time, and he says, I need you to come, Timothy. I want to be encouraged in my spirit one more time. Nothing like having family. Nothing like getting to see your children. You know, Napoleon one time said to people, I don't love anybody. I don't even love my brothers. Paul never gave that. He loved everybody. And he was willing to sacrifice everything for them. From a Roman prison, he would write, with all the terrible things that had taken place, his message always glowed with the presence of Christ. Everything that he had to say went that way. Napoleon never ended his life except for on a bitter note, saying, I don't think anybody loves me. I think right here I could count for how many people are here could actually say they love the words of the Apostle Paul, because they are absolutely words of encouragement. Paul had three friends. I'm sure that he had many, many more acquaintances, but he had three friends. But the friend that would stick to closer than a brother was Jesus. The kind of person that would come to you at any moment, day or night, as he's come to every one of us in times of trouble. He's come to us when we're heartbroken, when everything's going. But Paul's put his hand upon one other outside of Jesus, because we all know what Jesus did for him. But he put his finger on one other, and that was Luke, his physician. Here's one that came. It says, Luke, my beloved physician. That's what he wrote in the book of Colossians, or to the church at Colossia. And to only Luke is with me. That's what he would say in verse number 11. You see, he counted on people in a time of trouble. He counted on, as every one of us count on that. We count on somebody to come through and lift our spirits. We count on somebody to come and speak to us. And he counted on Timothy. He said, my son in the faith, but I need you, Timothy, to come. I need you to be here. You know, Paul was there in a prison. I could only imagine, as winter was coming on, what kind of clothing he had. Could you imagine being in a damp dungeon? And it's probably the worst possible condition that you could ever have. Adversity everywhere in Paul's life. But he held on to the one thing, I need to speak to my friends. They were true friends. They were born in adversity. And they stuck with him all the time. And so at the last, he writes to Timothy over in Ephesus, and he says, I need you to come, I need you to come to Rome. And while you're on your way, stop off at Troas. I mean, I need you to come by Troas and to the house of Carpus. And I need you to pick up my books and my parchments and especially my cloak. I need an outer garment. I'm freezing. Winter's coming. It's cold. I need all of those things. Could you imagine what kind of cloak he would have? It was probably nothing more than a rag, too. It was a rag that had been stained by the salt off the Mediterranean Sea for all the times that he traveled back and forth all over the world. And the brine from the salt was probably on that. It was probably dirt and dust that came off of, turned it somewhat yellow from all the time he trekked through desert parts of lands to get someplace to share the word of God. All those things were important to him. You know, I need my books. I need my parchments. Why? Because he wanted to move on. He was ready to send the message and keep it flowing. He said, but the most important thing that he wanted, I want you, Timothy. I need you to come and be with me. Do diligence to come to me shortly. And this is how he would end the letter. He would make that statement. I want you to come so bad. Do your diligence to come before winter. Most of us know there are things in life that we're blessed here in Texas. You can work through the wintertime most of the time, you know, outside of an ice storm or something like that. But in his day, in Paul's day, they never navigated the Mediterranean in the winter. Ships just couldn't, they didn't go. I mean, it was treacherous. The winds were different. The ships were all different. It was just way too dangerous for even them to think about it. So if Timothy waited, or the letter was late, he would have never got the message and he could not have gone. He'd have to wait till the springtime. He'd had to wait till April came around. But Paul, knowing that something was going to take place, you call it a premonition, you call it whatever you want to, I think the Spirit of God was speaking to him. He said, I'm not going to be here in the spring, Timothy. I need you to come now. How many times has God given us an opportunity to be with somebody that may not be here in springtime? How many times have we not seen it till it was too late? When the person is gone. You know, we all have regrets, every one of us. We wish that we'd have done this. We wish we'd have said that. One thing I have gained on these last couple of weeks, you watch football. I know a couple of teams that wish they'd have had a different season than they had. I know the one that wished that he'd caught the ball that he dropped. I know the one that would have said, I wish I'd have fell down quicker. Anybody watch Auburn, Alabama yesterday? Oh, now get back on track here. Rabbit trails are fun to chase at times. You got to do those kind of things. He wanted Timothy. He wanted you to come now. He wanted you to come right before winter. I may not be here. Could you imagine how that came to Timothy? You know how quickly we jumped right out of hot summer, and now we've had cold weather, and we call this autumn. I call it a mess. That's what I call it. But I know in the autumn times, many of the things that are so needful get pushed off. Or you're catching up to what you should have done in the summer, and you're over here doing it now. You're trying to get everything finished up. Paul had a message to Timothy, not knowing whether he ever got the message. But he wanted to remind him of his faithfulness. He wanted to say how much he loved him. But the thing that he wanted him to bring, not just the cloak, not the parchments, not the books, even more than himself, what he wanted, he put it out in a call for salvation. He made a call that went out there. He said, your character, your life is the testimony that I need. I need to look into your eyes and know that everything that God has done for you is speaking out and is ringing out at all times. That call goes out every day. A call goes out to Christians. Christians, you need to improve. We need to change. There are things that we keep putting off, and God says you can't put it off any longer. Oh, we all have favorable seasons. We all know that kind of stuff. But what do those bring us? They bring us procrastination, and they put off what God really wants to do in our lives. God wants to take advantage, wants us to take advantage of all the things that he has given us. He wants us to do those kind of things. But sometimes we're in a bondage to habits. We're in a bondage to, you know, to maybe it's a 12-pack every evening. Maybe it's recreational drugs. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's something that really knocks us down. But Paul said, I have fought the same fight. By God's grace, not by my strength, not by what I can do, I have kept the faith. I have done what I was supposed to do. Do you know that's the message that God is speaking to every Christian? That not by our strength, but by his strength, by his position, by who he is. And that really speaks to the hours that we live in today, the destiny of our lives. It's what God has called everyone. Even though the knocks that we all take in life, it doesn't mean anything. It means the angel of God is waiting to see, what are we doing for him? Are we going to be faithful as Paul was unto the end? Are we going to be faithful as Timothy? To do the work that God had sent him to, that Paul said, this is where I need you to be. This is that. You know, this today is the most precious and yet the most critical times of our lives. You ever stop to think about that? You say, well, I've been through so much already. We've not gone through everything that God has prepared for us. There's more to come. We're all alive. We're all breathing. We're still doing stuff. And God said, I want to utilize this time. I want not only what I would want for the history of your soul, but for what I can do through you in the time that we have left. God is saying to Timothy, I want to awaken once again your responsibility. I want to awaken your conscience. You ever had God do that to you? At times he'll come along and he'll say, I think you need to wake up. That's usually a still small voice. If you didn't hear it, watch out, the 2x4 is on its way. But God said, I will enable you to live the life in spite of the evil that is in your day. I have made this for you. In spite of maybe your brokenness today, maybe in spite of all the things that are going on, God said, you know something, I love you so much, I'm not going to let you stay right in this position. I'm going to build a bonfire under you. I'm going to do something to bring you around. I am going to place the spirit that is within you, I'm going to ignite it so that you can live these days, the days that we have before us, you can live them in the victory. You see, God always has a moment. And that moment, every time that he has, that moment's called for salvation. It's called to make a difference in somebody's life. Nothing would be better to walk out of this world one day, I fought a good fight, and praise God, I was able to direct people to you. And salvation through your spirit came because I dedicated my life to you. But there's not only that voice that calls for us for salvation. There's a voice also that calls for loving fellowship, calls for friendship. We all need that. Everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs somebody. I can only imagine how long it would take to get from Rome with a letter, seeing how it's probably about the same time that U.S. Postal Service delivers today. But I'm sure that he wrote the letter to Timothy, and it went across the ocean, and it came back to the Mediterranean. And, you know, can you imagine, though, if Timothy had decided, like so many of us have decided to work for God, and said, you know, I'm going to do that, but I got to finish this. I'm going to, yeah, Paul, I'm on my way, but I first, I got to stop off over here and take care of some. You know, Ephesus needs some better directors. I need to go build up the elders. Oh, I need to ordain those elders first. I need to get them going in Miletus. I need to have communion with the elders over in Colossia. And then I'll start for Troas. Then I'll get on my way and we'll get down to Troas. I'll get the books. I'll get all the things you ask about. And then I'm on my way. Could you imagine the heartbreak that would happen if Paul had cried out for Timothy and come, and Timothy, after taking time to do the rest of the things that we seemingly have time to do but not the important things, and he gets to the dock and the signs are already posted, there will be no ships until springtime. Can you imagine the heartbreak that would come across Timothy's life? How many times have you brought heartache on yourself when we've said, as I have said to me, I should have done that, but I didn't. And what I have to do, I had to ask God to forgive me. I put off something for somebody because I was busy doing everything else, only to find out that I should have taken the time to do this right here. No ships until April, Timothy. No ships, we're not going anywhere. You know, I'm sure he could kick himself. If that would have been the case, I don't know. He should have gone sooner. You know, ladies, I always thank the Lord for your wisdom. Quit acting like men. That was free advice too. Men don't always go to see doctors. They don't always take care of themselves. They don't do it, as you well know. So that's why God gave us wonderful ladies to kick us in the seat every once in a while, to make us do things that we don't normally going to do on our own. I would think that there would be someone like that to say, what was most important? What did I leave out? What should I have done? Could you imagine Timothy has to wait for April? He goes immediately down to the docks, the first ship out, heading to Rome. He gets to Rome and he begins to ask, does anybody know where Paul is? And one of those that was around Paul at the end, he said, you must be Timothy. Every day that the cell door opened on Paul's cell, he was thinking it was you. I'm sorry, Timothy, but Paul died last December. What is the message? What is the message that God has for us today? I could see Paul. He'd still smile. He said, give my love to Timothy when he gets here. Tell him how much I appreciate everything. See, that's a godly man. Yes, disappointed, yes, but not disappointed unto death, because he had one person that stayed with him who was closer than a brother. His name was Jesus. That was there all the time with him. But this was the message. Timothy, you either come now or never. Is there something in your life today that God is saying it's either now or never? You say, well, I can get to that. Well, you've been saying that for a long time. Remember what Jesus said? The poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have. Remember him chiding his own disciples over that? Remember Mary coming and breaking open the alabaster box, anointing his feet, weeping over his feet, drying them with her hair? And they said, what a waste. And what does he have? He said, you don't always have me. And this is something that would be commemorated to me, but yet in her name for eternity. That's what we get out of that. That's the time that you and I need our friends. That's the kind of friends that we need. Is it going to be procrastination, or is it going to be action? Are you going to do something that would say to you, the message has been sent, come before winter? I think you can translate that to your own life. I know I'm translating it to my life. You say, well, you've had almost 3 weeks to get over this back problem, and you should have been studying, you should have been doing this, you should have been doing that. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't. I didn't feel that way. I was happy to just turn every once in a while without screaming. But I'm saying that I can put it off as well as anybody can, and I have. But I was thankful that what God had done for me at 7:30 this morning when Richard called and said Shane was sick, that I knew that what God had to say, come before winter. Don't procrastinate anymore. Give your heart to me. Establish this one thing first. Establish your life in my arms. Commit yourself to me. That's the message that God had sent through Paul to Timothy. I need you to come now. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples are sitting there. Peter, James, and John, what do? They fell asleep, as most of us do. You know, we've been up too late, you know, prayer time, and all of a sudden your eyes get real heavy, you get into extremely deep meditation. Jesus, come, can't you even pray with me for an hour? You know, can't you even do those kind of things? You remember what he said at the end? He said, sleep on. Just sleep on. That's all I have. Take your rest. I've already been betrayed. Do you realize that James, one of those that was with him, became the first martyr in the church? Yeah. He asked him to pray with him for an hour. He missed that chance, but he didn't miss the chance to give his life as a martyr for Christ. You talk about a John. John was, as we know it, through the book of the Revelation, through the different things, the Gospels, all that he spent his life on a barren rock in a prison called Patmos. And you think of Simon Peter. What would he do? I missed the chance of praying with my Savior and my Lord. I'm willing to give my life and to be crucified upside down. All of those things are messages to us. Should we just continue to sleep on? Are we taking our rest? Or are we doing what God has called us to do? You see, that is the voice of loving friendship, to say to you, to me, sometimes we just need to be kicked in the seat. We need to be encouraged to move on, to go on for Christ. And the final one is this, the voice of Christ. There's nothing like hearing the word that comes to your heart. We've spent time in the Word of God reading this word, but then the Spirit of God comes and he speaks and he brings us to us. He's always calling us to come on, isn't he? I know he says that to me a lot. Come on, let's get with it. You need to be doing this thing right here. I always think, boy, if I'd have been there that day, I'd have stayed wide awake and I'd have been, no. He wouldn't have called me because I'd have been asleep under some tree some other place. Would he have called you? Would all of us stay up and do that? Would we be the one that when Jesus came walking along the seashore and he's calling out to Andrew and to Peter and to James and to John, would we have been the ones that said yes? Maybe we've said yes to him already. Maybe you know him as your personal Savior, which I take for granted almost anymore, that the people that come out anymore, that's what they have. Maybe you were a Matthew that sat in seat of customs. Maybe you ripped off the people. Maybe you're all of those kind of things. But when Jesus called, you gave your heart. You gave your life. But you know something? That call was then. What is God's call today? What is God calling today? Timothy was well established. And Paul definitely knew that, because he's the one that he left him there for that very thing. I put you there, Timothy, but the most important thing is that you lay it out before these people. They need Jesus today. What is God asking you today? What is he wanting you to do? I'm not questioning anybody's salvation. I'm not even debating that today. But have you ever read where Christ said, take care of that tomorrow? Why don't you put that off till next week, till after vacation? You know, is that God's word? Is that the way that he does things? Always about, well, I can be saved tomorrow. What did Paul say? Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to do. Now is the accepted time. That's what he said. Right? Now is the day of salvation. If you can hear my voice, you need to hearken. You need to listen to me. Because today is the day. You need to move while it is day, because the night comes when no man can work. All of us have facing things through this Christmas season. Some of it's going to be different than you've ever experienced before in your life. But the one thing that's not going to be different is that call. It's not Jesus' voice is not going to be different. It's still going to be that same loving voice that speaks to you every day. But he's still asking us to do more. He's still calling on us to do something else. And it's never going to be, well, tomorrow you can do this. Tomorrow you'll get to go over here. No, it's not going to be about tomorrow. It's going to be about today. Today is the day that we sow. We'll get to reap some other day. But today is the day that we sow. We give it right there. Three little words. Three small words. Come before winter. You and I have faced this too. Winter is coming to Texas. I know Lily and I were discussing that the other day. She said, I can't wait till it gets warm. I said, we just had that. But she's six, and what do I expect? Three words of common sense that Paul would write to his beloved son. Three simple words. We have common sense, well, somewhat. We have experience. We have in our own heart, we have a conscience. We have the scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit. We've watched souls being saved. We have done all of those kind of things. We have helped direct people to Jesus Christ. But once again, and I mean repeat it right after me, come before winter. Let the message set a fire in our hearts again. Because so many times our hearts grow cold. Do we intend to be that way? No, we don't intend to be that way. But they do. I watched my son, and it was difficult. Hadn't seen him in almost 2 years. I wanted to see that spark that has always been there. The life that had been changed. And it was there, but I could tell, like John the Baptist, are you the one that's coming, or do I look for another? All he wanted to see was three smiling faces. All he wanted to see and feel was the love that a mom and dad and mom would have for him. That's all that he was interested in. Come while you can, while you have the opportunity. God has all given us, every one of us, a breath today. He's given us a life. And unfortunately, we don't know when that time is out. We don't know when it's going to be over. But we know this, that God knows. And we all need to be just like Paul, just like he made his statement. For I am now ready to be offered. My time of departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. Have you? Have we fought a good fight? Have we finished our course? And most important, have you kept the faith? These are the requirements. I love this part. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. You got something to look forward to. But before I get there, I want to make sure I've done everything that God's called me to do. I want to make sure that I have answered everything that he wanted me to get done. I don't want to wait again, try to get it all done, try to cram it all in. I want to spend the time now. Someday my life will be ended. It'll be over. I understand that. Have no doubt about it. But I don't want to be sorry that I didn't take advantage of the opportunities God gave me. So I express to you this morning, your salvation, you have no doubt about, great, wonderful. But the work that you're doing for Jesus today, is it everything that would be pleasing to him? Or is God writing you a letter and saying to you, come before winter. Do your diligence to come to me and do the things that would bring me honor. Let's pray.